Gopi jana balaba girivaradari. Yashoda nandana braja jana randana. Yamuna tira vanashari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balaba Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Balaba Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Randana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jivada Madhava Astaki Gidai Zubaba Gidai. Narayanam namaskritya Naram chaiva narottamam Divam sarasvatim vyasam Tato jayam udirayat Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Which text? Chapter text? 11111?
611.
Okay, 611111111. Okay. The History of the Life of Ajamil. Okay. Shri Parikshit Uvacha. Nivritti. Marga. Katita. Nivritti Marga Katita. Nivritti Marga Katita.
Nivritti Marga Katita.
Adau Bhagavata Yata.
Adau Bhagavata
Yata. Krama Yoga. I got this here. Krama Yoga. Upalabdhena. Upalabdhena. Krama Yoga Upalabdhena. Krama Yoga Upalabdhena. Brahmana Yad Ashangshriti. Brahmana Yad Asangshriti. Shri Parikshit Uvacha. Nivritti Marga Katita. Adau Bhagavata Yata. Krama Yoga Palabdena. Brahmana Yada Shangshati. Bolyega. Bola Yega.
Shri Parikshit Uvacha. Nivritti Marga Katita. Adau Bhagavata Yata. Namayogo Palabdena. Vamana Yara Sangshwati. Nivritti Marga Katita. Adho Bhagavata Yata. Krama Yoga Palabdena. Brahmana Yara Shamsati. Nivritti Marga Katita. Adau Bhagavata Yata. Kama Yoga Palabdena. Brahmana Yada Sangsriti. Nivritti Marga Katita. Adau Bhagavata Yata. Kama Yoga Palabdena. Brahmana Yad Ashang Shritihi. Okay. Sri Parikshit Uvacha. Maharaj Parikshit said. Nivritti Marga. The path of liberation. Katitaha. Described. Adau. In the beginning, Bhagavata, by your holiness, yata, duly, krama, gradually, yoga upalabdena, obtained by the yoga process, brahmana, along with Lord Brahma, after reaching Brahmaloka. Yat, by which way? Asangshritihi, cessation of the repetition of birth and death. Nivritti Marga Katita Ada Bhagavata Yata Krama Yoga Palabdena Brahma Brahmana Yara Sangshriti. Maharaj Parikshit said, Oh my Lord, O Shukadev Goswami, you have already described in the second canto the path of liberation, Nivritti Marga. By following that path, one is certainly elevated gradually to the highest planetary system, Brahmaloka, from which one is promoted to the spiritual world along with Lord Brahma. Thus, one's repetition of birth and death in the material world ceases. Let me read a couple more texts to get the context. Text number 2. All great sage Sukadeva Goswami, unless the living entity is freed from the infection of material modes of nature, he receives different types of bodies in which to enjoy or suffer according to the body. He is understood to have various inclinations. By following these inclinations, he traverses the path called Pravritti Marga, by which one may be elevated to the heavenly planets, as you have described in the third canto. You've also described, at the end of the fifth canto, the varieties of hellish life that result from impious activities. And you have described, in the fourth canto, the first manvantara, which was presided over by Swayambhu Manu, the son of Lord Brahma. My Lord, you have described the dynasties and characteristics of Priyavata, Uttanapada, Supreme Personality of Godhead, created this material world, with various universes, planetary systems, planets and stars, with varied lands, seas, oceans, mountains, rivers, gardens, trees, all with different characteristics. These are divided among this planet Earth, the luminaries in the sky, and the lower planetary systems. You have very clearly described these planets and living entities on them. Oh, greatly fortunate, opulent Sukadeva Goswami, now kindly tell me how human beings saved from having to enter hell can be saved from having to enter a hellish life in which they suffer terrible pain. So he's asking a question now, right? He's given a whole synopsis, right, of the previous content. But now he's focusing on this point as to how are people going to be saved from their reactions of going to hell. Okay. And purport text number one now. Since you've already described the path of Nivritti Marg, by which one can go gradually to Brahmaloka and go to Vaikuntha. So. Since Maharaj Pariksit was a Vaishnava, when he heard the description at the end of the fifth canto of the different hellish conditions of life, he was very much concerned with how to liberate the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya and take them back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, he reminded his spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami, about the Nivritti Marg, or path of liberation, which he had described in the second canto. Maharaj Pariksit, who at the time of death was fortunate to have met Sukadeva Goswami, inquired from Sukadeva Goswami about the path of liberation at that crucial time. Sukadeva Goswami very much appreciated the question and congratulated by saying to him, and this is 2:1:1, Variyan esha te prashna krito loka hitam nripa atmavit samata pungsan shota vyadishu yat paraha. My dear king, your question is glorious because it is very beneficial for all kinds of people. The answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing, and it is approved by all transcendentalists. So it's auspicious for all kinds of people, and it's the most important thing to hear about. Wow, big purport. Maharaj Pariksit was astonished that the living entities in conditional states do not accept the path of liberation, devotional service, instead of suffering in so many hellish conditions. This is a symptom of a Vaishnava. Panchakalpas turubhyascha kripasindubhyayamacha. A Vaishnava is an ocean of mercy. Paradukaduki. He is unhappy because of the unhappiness of others. Therefore, Maharaj Pariksit, being compassionate upon the conditioned soul suffering in the hellish life, suggested that Sukadeva Goswami continue describing the path of liberation, which he had explained in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The word asaṃsṛti is very important in this connection. Saṃsṛti refers to the continuing on the path of birth and death. Asaṃsṛti, on the contrary, refers to Nivritti Marg, or the path of liberation, by which one's birth and death cease, and one gradually progresses to Brahmaloka. Unless one is a pure devotee who does not care about going to the higher planetary systems, in which case one immediately returns back home, back to Godhead, by executing devotional service. Chakpa deham punar janma 90. Pariksit Maharaj therefore was very eager to hear about Sukadeva Goswami, according to the from Sukadeva Goswami, but the path of liberation for the conditioned souls. A lot of points here. Seeing that some people are just ready to go, they're pure devotees, and they just want to go back to Godhead. They don't want to finish it off like that. You know, they join the Hare Krishna movement. They chant Hare Krishna for 3 days, fasting from water, and leave their bodies and go back to the spiritual world. Okay. Send them all. Send them all back to Goloka. Let the gopis sort them out. Like that. Yeah. Empty the world of people. Like that. You can tell people in the newspapers and boys, that is our mission, to depopulate the city of all people. Oh, very interesting. Just come here and chant Hare Krishna, and in 3 days you'll be back about it. Is there a faster process? Yes. Just stop breathing for 3 minutes. Chant Hare Krishna. Go stick your head in the water like that. Tie a big rock to your neck and go jump in the water and chant Hare Krishna. Well, you have a little side. I'll take the 3 day process. And actually, even that's pretty quick. Okay, well, there's a three-week process. Stop eating. Right? Stop eating for 3 weeks. Go back to Godhead. Well, I don't know. Maybe, is there a three-year process? three-year process, yeah. So that's what, in the second canto, that's the proposition that Sukadeva Goswami makes, this chant Hare Krishna, you know, engaging in chanting about Vishnu, Supreme Lord, become purified, and leave this world. But then he says, but if you have some desires,
You know what the goal is, like, you know, everything else, but still you have some desires. Okay. Then he suggests you visit these different planets, different places, different lokas, different realms on your way out, like that, right? You know, like music, playing a guitar, different levels of music, you know. Someone just plays the music and, you know, someone else sings the song, doesn't know what it means. Someone else singing the song, but they know what it means, like that. I mean, they wrote it, right? They're like trying to communicate with the audience like that, you know. So different levels of consciousness. And I would say most people in ISKCON, they go through the same thing. You know, somebody comes, he's totally in distress from different problems in the family, different bad habits, addictions, and he comes here and discovers, oh, here's a solution. I can just take a lot of prasadam and I can get free from my heroin addiction. Or I come here and people are not all this hellish, emotional fighting in my family. I come here, it's a little more peaceful. Wow, okay. Ah, you know. And so you get relief. And somebody else comes and, you know, different levels like that, you know. And after we get a little peaceful, if we don't go away, then we decide, oh, let me, what are other things available here? I could actually get some kind of, what's the word, like, a little bit developed logic about what is life, who are we, what is this world, like that. I can understand these things, you know. So you study Bhagavatam, you get some logic and understanding about life, people, time, space, mass, astrology, what else, mechanics, all these things. You know? Well, okay. You know? Well, there's something more available, you know. And then, what else? You know, you go to Maharloka. You know, you get it just started. Then you just focus on the prayers, but it personified Vedas. Most people, when they read the Krishna book, the 10th canto, pastimes of Krishna, Krishna killing Pralambasura, Krishna killing Denukasura, Krishna killing Keshi, Krishna killing Jarasandha, Krishna dancing with the gopis, Krishna playing with his friends, you know. That's okay, but when you come to the prayers but a personified Vedas, everybody goes, oh my God, you know, 25 pages of philosophy. Exactly. But if you look at the commentaries of the Acharyas on the 10th canto, you can even look it up right here, you know, Vishnu Chakrabarti, everybody else, when they come to these things, they go, oh wow, 25 pages of dry philosophy. Ooh, wow. How nice, you know, like that. The commentaries. Ooh, wow. You know, like that. And I was doing Nirjala Kadasi sometimes. I did it for 1 year, actually. Every year, did the whole year, except one day it was too hot, I was having problems. One day it was so cold, I was going into convulsion. Other than that, I did the whole year. And I could see your mind's thinking about, well, let's eat that. Let's eat this. You know, let's taste that. Let's taste that. Well, we're not going to taste anything. You know, I want water. I'm not going to drink anything. You know, so after some time, your mind like gives up on these things. You know, then it starts looking for something else. Well, we can read philosophy. Okay, we can read philosophy. Okay, you know, what about the Vedanta Sutra? Your mind just starts thinking about these things, different, very, you know, logical, analytical questions about different things. What is mercy? You know, different traditions. What is courage? You know. And then this is Maharloka. On Gandharva Loka, the fairies are enjoying so many mystical powers. On Indra Loka, Indra is in charge of the universe, making everything run, the king of the gods. In Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, is where all these very, very elevated sages live. You know? And the only suffering there is, what is the suffering there? Huh? No, compassion. For those in the lower worlds, because they're Jnani Vimukta. They're liberated Jnanis, because they understand everything. They're not attached to anything. They're liberated, always, you know, peaceful, blissful. But they see other people, and they feel the compassion for their suffering. So Prabhupada's saying here, you know, Paradukha Dukhi. So Maharloka, but it's still the material world. So, and so they descend sometimes. They've heard that Prabhupada said Jesus Christ came from Maharloka, Janaloka, someplace like that. Very pure, elevated sage, and out of compassion, you know, took this job from Krishna to come and deal with these people, this place, this time, and give them the same philosophy, Bhagavad Dharma. So devotees come to that platform chanting. Very nice devotee, very pure. You think of some people in ISKCON like that. It is. Their life is very simple. They deal with all the problems in their life. They take care of them. You know, doesn't really bother them. You know? And they have some very nice service, but still they're, you know, they're very nice. They're very compassionate. You know? Like Jandivas and Panchangri, two brothers from Mayapur. They would never leave Mayapur. Just never, never, because they were so happy they were living with Radha Madhava and Brahmacharya's whole life, whatever. But finally they started traveling. They felt that his obligation, that Prabhupada's gone now, and you know, we have so much experience, everything else like that, that we should really go and, you know, travel and stuff like that. There's other kind of other countries. You know. So they've been doing that. You know. And then finally, after all these places, what's the last planetary system? Maharloka? Brahmaloka. So it's above Maharloka. What's it like there? Somebody tell me? What's Brahmaloka? What's it like? Been there recently? What's it like? Huh?
Yeah,
oh, yeah? Okay, yeah. He did that, though. He got the result. Yeah. It says that it's not describable in mundane words and thoughts. It's so incredible. But Brahma's watching dancing programs. The Apsaras, they dance for Brahma. They get very intellectual dancing, like very combinations and patterns. And so he has problems sometimes, you know, being in charge of the administration of the universe. I guess what he is, I guess he's like the chairman of the board of directors, right? Not the chief executive officer, but sometimes the chief executive officer, Indra, has to go to him and complain about these things, and what do I do? And Brahma has to think, oh my God, I can, you know, some general, he doesn't become Indra, but he has to deal with suggestions and perspectives and go visit things and like that. You know. So he's experiencing, you know, so much intellectual gratification. There's a conference organized in on the East Coast someplace, some university. It's called Nobel Conference on Aesthetics. And they invite different Nobel laureates to come and talk about aesthetics. What is beauty? What is these things? It's very interesting, these guys talking about this. And one guy was talking about the almost inconceivable pleasures of the mind. These guys get into these, like, you know, they know 14 languages, you know, they have mathematical systems you can't even imagine like that, you know. It's like Newton. He and Leibniz and these guys, big, really exciting time intellectually. They started to try and calculate the orbits of the comets or a planet, like Mercury is going around the sun like that, you know, that or something, you know. But Mars out there, Mars is beyond us, yeah. So if you ever try and calculate it, is it a circle? Does it make a circle around the sun? What does it do? Ellipse, yeah. Okay. So that means that when it's farther away, it slows down. When it comes closer, it speeds up, you know. Yeah, like that, you know. Okay. So how do you calculate the orbit? You can't use Euclidean geometry. The rules of Euclidean geometry won't work because it's an eclipse. But how do you calculate that? Which mathematics? You can't do it with analytical geometry. Huh? Won't work. Analytical geometry can't do it. Can't handle it. So therefore, Newton invented calculus. Yeah, calculus is a weird thing, a weird idea. Calculus, the fundamental rule of calculus is, given any continuous function, like f of x equals 2x squared minus x, to the fourth times x, y, that, you know, there's no breaks in it like that. But it's a function of x. And then y equals so and so x's like that. Okay. Given any continuous function, and given any change in y, the result, okay, 1 inch, you know, you can always find a change in x that will give you, will be smaller than this. Make it smaller, I can make it smaller. Make it smaller, I can make it smaller. Make it smaller, I can make it smaller. Like that, you know. Well, it's very simple. You know, okay. So then he took these equations for calculating this thing like that. You know, and you can't solve them because there'll always be a mistake. It's an approximation. But as the error in y tends towards zero, you know, x will also, you can also make x tend towards a certain number.
Okay.
Phone is howling. Yeah. Yeah. So see what he did? He's saying that, well, I can't give you a solution, but I can give you a solution which will have an infinitely small mistake. Oh, okay. It's got mistakes still. Yes, it does, but it's infinitely small. So it's weird. It's like, it's not really the solution, but it's like, it's, you know, wow. You know. So this is Maharloka, Brahma Loka. These guys come up with these weird mathematical, and this is one of them. That's calculus, you know. And with that, then you can solve so many problems you couldn't solve before, like that. You know? So this is like Brahma Loka, the sense gratification there. It's not sense gratification, it's intellectual gratification. It's unbelievable. You know? But if you go on with your austerities properly, then Lord Brahma, finally he gets it out of his system. One lifetime of enjoying all this stuff, and oh my God, yeah, enough of this. Let me just serve Krishna, you know. So in his lifetime, usually then he's finished and he goes back to the spiritual world. And then everybody else who's with him, they go too. Like, they're involved in the same thing like that. But you have to wait, you know, like that. So this is the pravritti marg, but it's not the direct path. There's nivritti, no, pravritti, staying in this world, trying to enjoy things. And nivritti, you know, going out through this gradual process. Then finally, the Vaishnava thing of just pure devotee thing of just getting out, leaving, boop, like that. So he's asking him, let's go back to this pravritti thing, nivritti thing, you know? Okay. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
In Brahma, like you said, that they are engaged in very high intellectual,
yeah,
mind based things.
Yeah.
So, that's not
a nivritti. No, it's progressive. That's the point. First, you're giving up the earth planet to go to Gandharva Loka. Okay, then you're giving up Gandharva Loka to go to Indra Loka. Then you're giving up Indra Loka to go to Maharloka. Then you're giving up Maharloka to go to, like that, Brahma Loka. And finally, you're doing a Brahma Loka. Again, it's like ISKCON devotees. I mean, you get more and more purified, but it's still a little attachment, and finally you have to be kicked out. You know, it's like you're ready to go, but Krishna comes along like Maharaj Pariksit. Maharaj Pariksit, well, what was his attachment? Very pure devotee, but he still was attached. Yeah, take care of others. It's like, you know, it was like a Bhoktaram Yagatapas Lung Yam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suradam Sarvadehinam. I'm everybody's best friend. Who will take care of the family if I go? Who will take care of my children if I go? Who will take care of the business if I go? Yeah. So it's, no, God will take care of it. But that's our, it's a little attachment still. So then Krishna. Anyway, it was just because material nature is so attractive that even he became a little attached, you know. But all it took was a little kick, you know. And Krishna arranged this thing for him to be cursed by Samika Rishi, or whatever it is. Shonaka. Samika is the father. Shungi there. Yeah. And, you know, and that was enough. He woke up and, yeah. So, he, you know, at the time, death is like Krishna's, you know, push. Huh? That's what it explains, though, because he was thinking that he was, you know, the king is empowered and ordered to do this. But when he's no longer, he starts to think that he's an independent protector, and therefore people should thank him. Well, thank you for protecting us. Yes. Yeah, that's the problem. You say, oh, thank you for protecting you. You say, no, I'm just doing my job. Krishna is to protect me. And I did something. I did a little something. I'm a little evil soul. But, yeah, most of it's happening because Krishna is giving you the strength, the intelligence, and stuff like that. Oh, okay. And if I die or something, don't worry. Somebody else can do the job. Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The same way father and mother. You say, oh, daddy, you'll protect me always. You say, well, no, maybe I will. Maybe I'll die. Or maybe I won't understand you sometime. I'll punish you improperly. But you've always got a heavenly father, you know, who will always understand you and always take care of you. Really? Yeah. Where does he live? That's the parent's job. That's the whole thing, understanding where, you know, where our responsibility stops and where Krishna starts. And it's even that boundary is kind of like not always clear, you know. But at some point, yeah, we're way over the line. And we're trying to like, you know, take Krishna's position. You know? So that's what happened in Maharaj Parikshit. He was trying, you know, basically he was, because the Kali Yuga was supposed to come as part of the whole plan. But he was stopping it to protect the citizens. Yeah. Yeah. So Krishna said, Kali Yuga has to come. Yeah. It's driven to get shelter of those who want it. That's the whole point. It's always optional. Yeah. Then Lord Chaitanya comes and makes it even very special. Very special. You kind of forget that in general. But generally speaking, yeah, the Bhagavatam is there, but it's not manifest. I mean, there's no manifest incarnation. It's a Bhagavatam, which is a, you know, it's a book. It's an intellectual incarnation like that. You know. It's accessible pretty much only for a certain kind of people in certain ways. You know. But it's there. If you want it, it's there. You know. But most people, they don't want it. They want to carry on like this. They want to have an opportunity. You know. To try and become God. You never let me be God. You're always God. I want to be God sometimes. Okay, all right. Try it out. Yeah. So then, you know, there's, again, the mother, the children are fighting. She breaks up the fighting, divides the toys up. You know, it happens three times. She says, okay, I'm going to go in the house and make cookies. Anybody wants to come help me, they can come. But the rest of you can just do whatever you want to out here in the backyard. There's no sharp scissors. There's no matches. Okay, you know, body roll, you know. And that, she hears the howling and the crying, you know. Some kids come in, you know, like that. Did you learn something? Yeah. You better share your toys. Sally sure can bite. Bobby sure can pull hair. But it's the only way they're going to learn, you know. And they can't hurt themselves. There's no, you know, again, there's like, you know, you put, there's no sharp scissors or, you know, I guess whatever. Fingernails are cut. They haven't got knives. Coming and bite so hard, you know. Yeah. 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 So that's an important point, because, you know, he's a Vaishnava. And maybe we can't force people, but let's go on. Let's make it so easy for them. Let's don't make it difficult. Let's make it really easy. And the more easier we make it, there's no limit. You know, we can always experiment with new ways. There's always new ways we can come up with, like, making the mercy available, and some people will be able to take it like that. It'll reach some people. You know, you see that some people they're coming for years, right? Temple and stuff, and so finally, at some point, something gets them like that. It was, wow, they change. You know, yeah, I know. It's people have stories like that. People, Bob Bickford, years. You know, and finally, it was like, wow. You know, you realize that, yeah. Worship of God as a person is better than personal process. So, yeah. And last paragraph here. According to the opinion of the Acharyas, the word Krama Yoga Palabdhena indicates that by first performing Karma Yoga and then Jnana Yoga and finally coming to the platform of Bhakti Yoga, one can be liberated. Bhakti Yoga, however, is so powerful that it does not depend upon Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga. Bhakti Yoga itself is so powerful that even an impious man with no assets in Karma Yoga or an illiterate with no assets in Jnana Yoga can undoubtedly be elevated to the spiritual world if he simply adheres to Bhakti Yoga. Mam evaishyasi asamshayaha, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 8:7, that by the process of Bhakti Yoga one undoubtedly goes back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. Home. Yogis, however, instead of going directly to the spiritual world, sometimes want to see other planetary systems, and therefore they ascend to the planetary system where Brahma lives, as indicated here by the word Brahma. At the time of dissolution, Lord Brahma, along with all the inhabitants of Brahmaloka, goes directly to the spiritual world. This is confirmed in the Vedas as follows. Brahmana sahate sarve samprapte pratisanchare Parashyante kritatmanaha parvishanti param param.
Because of their exalted position, those who are in Brahmaloka at the time of dissolution go directly back home, back to Godhead, along with Lord Brahma. Yeah. It doesn't give a source, but it says the Vedas say. Yeah. So it's okay. So karma. So if you have some or other, you get this mercy, Brahmandi Brahmate Kaun, you can get a little bhakti yoga, do it, right? As much as you can. And that will automatically give you like wisdom, understanding, you know, good habits, good character, good karma, jnana. But if you just you can't do it anymore, okay, then try and be a good person. Try and stick to vegetarian diet. Try and, you know, read some books about it, develop some knowledge about things. Yeah. Yeah. So.
And Devotee Maharaj, he said that devotees from devotional tasks, they do devotional service and try to get Devotee Maharaj. But when you do devotional service, then you have to do so many other things because you have to live. And then you get trapped in those things.
Yeah.
You want to use that things for Krishna for devotional service. But when you sometimes you want to do things and enjoy at the same time.
That's again, that's the path is described in the second canto, you know, because the gross fool, he wants to go into the company, big corporation, and, you know, make friends and engage in all kinds of politics and you know, discredit people's character by lies and stuff like that, and falsifying reports, and you know, all these horrible things. And somebody else even goes to the point of murder and assassination. Somebody's brakes fail and the guy dies, and what do you know? That's like extreme case, but that. So these are all different ways of enjoying. You know, somebody renounces murder. Somebody else renounces, you know, lying and stuff like that. But you know, I'm going to put myself in a better light. You know. Not going to let this guy be seen as he should be seen, but I'm not going to lie about him. You know? So different levels, right, of enjoyment. You know? So as devotees, as I was saying, as devotees, we're still experimenting with these things. You know? And in the end, you come to the conclusion that the best thing in the business is actually not to glorify myself, but to try and get everybody else. So Bob over in, you know, in was automation, he really did this, not me, and actually, maybe we did some stuff, but really their contribution, look at their contribution, you know, like that, right? So you come to this level then of being generous about people, and you know, and then you discover it's even better. Wow, things are evil, you know? So you we're doing this, that's the thing, that's the pathway. And finally, you come to the point where you begin to realize more and more that devotional service automatically includes these things, you know? And this is how Krishna's arranged for you to make my money to take care of the family. I can see that. I try and do something else, doesn't work out. Krishna's arranged this. He wants me to go there. This is my service. You know? And simultaneously, obviously, it's a Sankirtan movement, so he wants me to do something. The Sankirtan, you know? So you start to discover at work, and you start talking to people, and, you know, in different ways. They start asking you questions about things, and you start discovering that you can actually help these people, you know? Maybe they're not becoming pure devotees, but they're advancing. And the next lifetime, they'll be able to take more. It's not going to all happen in one lifetime. And some people are becoming more interested in stuff. You know? Okay, then maybe, yeah, I'm going to be here about, I can tell I'm going to be here maybe 3-4 more years. That's about it. Yeah. I'm getting like, getting it together in the preaching level. I'm going for preaching programs. I'm getting my finances. And I really won't need this money, and I'm helping people as much as I can. And okay, I'm going to be, you know, like what's the devotee? Tamahar is our GBC national president committee there, that different thing. I was talking to him finally. And he used to, he was even a dean of a university at some point, apparently. You understand? Yeah. Educational psychology. He's a professor teaching. That's PhD, and he was teaching. And then I guess he was in, even like, apparently, Anuto mentioned something like that. He was actually a dean for some time. But then he got out of that, you know? Now he does full-time service for ISKCON. And he teaches at Phoenix University online like that with some students and makes some money like that. You know? So you come to the point where finally you just,
you know, your family is totally devotees, and they're happy being devotees, and you know, you go live in Mayapur, and Mayapur is arranging all the everything you need, prasadam, and everything else, and you're fully engaged. So basically, you're working in ISKCON. You know, exactly. Again, there's so many ways, but usually it's higher. And the thing is progressive. Usually we go on these things, and the yogi is describing like this, you know, like that. But actually, these are our experiences. It's through bhakti yoga, we experience this in our life, in our ordinary life. Yeah, and we try to remember how it was when you first became a devotee, and how you were living, and you know, suffering from your passions, and eating, and social relations. And you're like, well, you know, made some progress here. what was the guy? When he was a karmi guy, very devotee, a nice person, you know. He said, you notice when he was eating meat, he would like get in verbal fights with people, arguing with people like that violently. He never got any physical fights with, you know, work and with things like that, you know. He gave up eating meat and eating eggs. He noticed he would get angry at people in his mind and stuff like that, and just have to control like these things and be, you know, thinking about certain people like that, you know. So he stopped eating eggs. He said, you notice then he would just like didn't even think the angry thoughts like that. He was noticing like it was, you know, different levels. So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So feeling compassion for somebody, does that keep us in the world? Because it could be that kind of compassion that we are more attached.
Well, again, if it's well, actually the word passion, compassion, it means to, you know, enter into their passion, you know. So if it's on that on a material level, then we're going to come back, you'll be involved in material reactions like that. They're not hungry, they must be suffering, let me give them some meat. You know, yeah. Or else you realize, no, they're suffering ultimately because they're not connected to Krishna properly. Then that kind of feeling, you know, and that kind of suffering is good. You know, it's spiritual. You know, there's no limit to it, it's purifying, it's, you know. Because even in the spiritual world, there's what suffering, right? Yeah. But it's like spiritual. You know, it's nice. Yeah. One thing is briefly, in terms of our whole doing what we're talking about, one of the purposes of Bhakti Shastri is to come to Bhakti Vaibhava. Right? You know, but kind of the center of the whole Bhakti Shastri is Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada says Bhagavad Gita is the cultivation of the intellect. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the cultivation of the soul, of the spiritual, of the soul. Someone says the soul, like that. You know. Yeah, exactly. I actually have a citation written down. So Bhagavatam then is actually where spiritual life actually begins, really. You know, what Bhagavad Gita doesn't go much beyond Paramatma. He's everywhere. He knows everything. He's the oldest. He's the controller. The material world is under his thing. Spiritual world, there's no sun, there's no moon, there's no electricity, it's self-illuminated. Okay, that's about it. It doesn't describe any details. But the Bhagavatam starts to describe all these incarnations who are coming from the spiritual world and showing us like what it's like there, you know. And then finally coming to Krishna and showing us what it's like in Goloka. You know? So Bhagavatam is the cultivation of the soul proper. So the idea is that Bhakti Shastri. And again, some people, they don't get into it formally. Okay, you don't have to. Just chant Hare Krishna, go to classes, understand things, your own logic. Then you got to read or write, you know, like that. And read the Krishna book every night. And if you can read, just read the Krishna book. That's enough. Every night, read the Krishna book, take hot milk for your family, and go to sleep. Then work all day with the agriculture and the animals, and like that. Okay, no problem. I think I'll do it myself. But if you're intellectually inclined and you're addicted to these things, okay, bhakti shastri. You're more inclined, okay, not for everybody, okay, bhakti bhai bhava, right? And then you're reading and studying the Bhagavatam systematically. You know? And the first six cantos, probably recommended, you know. And so there's a whole structure, we discussed it many times, how the Bhagavatam is organized. You know? And again, fifth canto, you're describing all these hells. So sixth canto starts with this question and about the how to resolve this. And Sukadeva Goswami's solution, finally, Prabhupada paraphrases this in the introduction to Nectar of Instruction, because he gives him all these bogus suggestions. Oh, you should do good activities. You should become a wise man. He said, no, I'm not going to work. Okay, you should serve Krishna. and that'll kick it all out. Oh, okay. So, well, how do I serve Krishna? Well, there's a nice story about Ajamil, which shows this, and how devotional service is so powerful. So the story of Ajamil is like about three chapters. Two chapters? Four chapters. Yeah. Then after that, it goes back to... Yeah, because they were back in the fourth canto, right? There's the whole Bhagavatam is based up to the tenth canto, basically, on the Manus, you know, the different children, descendants, like that. So it's describing the descendants of Swayambhava Manu, Uttanapada, Dhruva, and the Prachetas they occurred there. And they went out to austerities underwater, and then in the fourth canto. So fifth canto is about Priyavrata, his descendants. Sixth canto starts with this, and then it goes back to Daksha.
Yeah,
yeah, Prachetas, like that. They marry one girl, he was their son. Yeah. And he offers which prayers? Hansaguya prayer. Like that. Yeah. And very nice. These are very old prayers. Like that. Yeah. Then after him, then what happens? He has daughters? No. His children are described? Yeah. And Narada Muni turns them all into the brahmacharis. And then the girls are born, and they have children. And Tvasta. He's a son of Brahma or not? He's a guy, a simple guy here. Tvasta. Because Narada Muni offends his spiritual master, Brihaspati. Yeah, he just disappears. So then Brahma says, take Tvasta's son, Vishvarupa, and he kills him.
Huh?
That's later, yeah. So he kills Vishvarupa's son, Tvasta's son, Vishvarupa. Then Tvasta, out of anger, produced another son, who is Vritasura. Yeah. And Vritasura is, turns out to be a devotee. You know, he's a gigantic monster. He's mentioned in the Rig Veda, the story of Vritasura from the Rig Veda, which is the oldest Veda. Yeah. And then, so then they ask, well, how could he be a devotee and be a demon? He's a big demon, And then tells the whole story of Chitraketu, like that. Yeah. Goes back, And I'm finishing right now, just like that. And Diti becomes angry because Indra asked Vishnu to help him by killing Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, her kids. So she then, bamboozles her husband. English word. She bamboozled her husband into offering her anything she wants. She says, "Well, can you give me a sacrifice by which I can kill my sister's children?" She said, "Well, why not? Of course." I said, "Oh my God, women will be women, So it's a very interesting chapter in terms of. Actually, I was going to suggest that Rahini and Ananga, their sisters, they're like intellectual. They go ahead and try and make a little movie drama out of this, like that. It's very intense, like that. All the psychology.
Huh?
Maybe, like that. Maybe before something in Peru, maybe one project. Like, take some time, write the script, and present it so it can be understandable like that, Yeah. It's just, the Bhagavatam is so intense, because it's describing here that, how female psychology can work. Face like a lotus, heart like a razor blade. Yeah, we know. But then men have their problems too. This is a material world. Everybody has their problems. Everybody. But it's understanding everybody's good qualities and bad qualities. And the problem with men is they can become hard-hearted. In the name of some philosophy, they can kill so many people, everything like that. Where ladies, by nature, always be soft-hearted. So it's like everybody worked together on this project. Nice wife, nice husband, nice kid. Wow, okay. Get ready to fly alone.
In this continuation, this chapter, people mentioned that it came up when Yamaraj is talking to Yamaduta.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that an improper Prabhupada mentioned somewhere that if you change your house in the morning,
yeah,
and you leave home, or if you get an accident or fall off a roof.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like that.
Yeah.
Any accident or death.
Yeah.
Which you can meet after chanting around.
Yeah.
Can you go back to an accident
like that? Remember, it says that if you. You know, you'll be protected if you fall off the roof, if you, things like that.
Yeah. Very
bold. Yeah. I don't remember that, but maybe it's somewhere like some of the commentary. But it seems like it. And basically our deal, I mean, Prabhupada said that. If you chant your rounds and live in the temple, basically he said if you chant 16 nice rounds, follow four principles strictly, and live in the temple for the rest of your life. But you can make your home into a temple too. Okay. Then you say, I promise at the end of this miserable material existence, I will personally come and take you back home, back to Godhead. It was a very intense, you know, end of a class. And Prabhupada was just sitting there thinking for like several minutes. It seemed like everybody was totally quiet, like 600 people. And Prabhupada was just thinking, you know. And the people were choking their coughing. It was like, you know. So finally Prabhupada looked up and said that, you know. It was like, maybe it's true or not, but it's just like, you know, I'm going to put my money on this on this option. This guy, you know, looks so serious. I know Prabhupada, but everything else, and he's, you know, like this. Srinath Maharaj said, I don't know about these things, Baba. He said, I think I'm on the right path, you know. He may be way beyond that, but that's okay. That's one level, is that I still have doubts. That's natural. So we have so many books, so much investigation, Mahar Loka, you know. But, okay. And this is definitely like seems like the best option, like that. You know?
But like you said, Parikshit Maharaj, he got pushed.
Yeah.
And he was in one simple problem that
yeah.
I need to get out of these.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we have so many problems.
Yeah.
I think we need a bigger push than that.
Well, it gets too much, we can't handle it. You know? So Krishna's always giving us a little push, right? Every day there's something like to irritate us or. You know, remind us, you know, we have to have both. Upanishad says, right? You have to understand the spiritual world, material world, you know, simultaneously. So we keep getting little pushes by the material nature, you know, the right time. And if we're like intelligent, we begin to appreciate them intelligently. Ah, okay. Thank you, Krishna. Ah, thank you, thank you. Oh, yeah. Ah, it's just to wake me up for this problem. So then all the pushes become like, you know, good. Okay, so Papa Ki. So tonight, we guess we'll discuss something. Right? Okay. Back to Roger. Is it going to snow? Not going to snow. No.